Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. What a blessing and a joy it is each week to come to you and speak about God's love. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. If you can't come in person, we'd love to have you join us online. We have a live stream Sunday mornings at 9. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream, join the worship. You can worship, you can listen, you can grow in grace, you can pray, you can fellowship by chatting. Our prayer is that we all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's my prayer as we listen and watch each week, we will know that God is with us. I want you to stand and walk in the promises. God says he will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus told his disciples as he ascended into heaven, "Remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." These are the words of promise. God is with us. God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. I want you to remember Jesus' last words, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." These are the words of promise, hope, and strength for us today. Ancient words, yes. God's words of promise. They are new every morning. Try them on today. Well, if you're just joining us, we're in a little sermon series, and I've titled this sermon series, God With Us. We've been going over some of the big Bible stories, and we have spent time in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we've learned that there was a fourth man in the fire with them. God is with us. If you are in a fiery furnace right now, look around. God is the fourth person in the fire. We've been in the lion's den with Daniel, and we learned that an angel shut the mouth of the lions. Daniel was saved from certain death. God is with us. The Word says that God's ways are not our ways. For sure, I could have never dreamed these stories up in a million years. But God is with us, and he will walk with us. Today, I'd like to add one of the old familiar stories, the story of David and Goliath. I will also bring in a wonderful New Testament story, Jesus in the storm, found in Luke 8. Are you facing any giants today? Have you been in a storm recently? Maybe it's the storms we've been having outside. Maybe it's COVID. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's financial cares or relationship problems, health concerns. Well, the list could go on and on and on. Are you facing a giant? Here's a new idea to ponder for our story today. Have you ever been intimidated? Have you ever been scared to death? Have you ever been terrorized by fear? Have you ever been immobilized by fear? Have you had a crisis in your life and felt crashing waves of doubt, anger, despair, depression, disappointment, frustration, and fear? The good news for today is that this message is for you. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel 17. Let us see how David faced his giant. And listen, if you don't have a Bible, we have a man in the church that's giving out one-year Bibles, and we would mail them to you. You can just email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. We'll send you a one-year Bible, also a scripture reference book. Just email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. Before we go to God's Word, let us come to the throne of grace in prayer. Lord God Almighty, you are God Sabaoth. You're the God of the armies. We come today in prayer and worship and ask to be renewed, restored, redeemed, and refreshed. Touch us with your holy word and embolden us to become the men, women, and children of God you're calling us to be. Fill us with your holy boldness and teach us how to face our giants. This may be an old, old story, but we still face giants today. So teach us and encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Samuel 17:1-11. Let's listen. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Succoth and Azekah in Epes-Damenon. Saul and Israel, the Israelites gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and formed ranks against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had greaves of bronze on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung over his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield-bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "Today I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And then verse 32, it says, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." And then in verse 37, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine," Saul said to David. "Go and be with the Lord." "Come here," he said, "and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the fields." David said to the Philistines, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." 1 Samuel 17:44 to 47. Every single person on earth faces giants of one kind or another. Through this story of David and Goliath, there's an amazing truth taught. Through the power of God, you have victory over your giants. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. Through the power of God, you have victory over your giants. Wow. Goliath was probably 10 feet tall, wearing armor, weighing about 150 pounds, and this is the giant that David came to face to face with. In Hebrew, the name Goliath means, quote, "champion" or "the one in between." I do not know what or who your giant is. I do not know how tall your giant is. I don't know the weight that your giant bears. I do not know what your giant brings to the battle. I do not know who or what is trying to champion over you, knock you out, take you down. I do not know. I don't know what is standing between you, your giant, and your God. What I do know is that your God is bigger than your giant. Your God is bigger than your giant, more powerful than your giant, and God will win the victory. Story after story after story in the book tells us so. Max Lucado once wrote these words, "Fear has touched every one of us in some way, whether it has entangled us or completely enchained us." Has fear entangled you? Has fear ever completely enchained you? Has fear ever frozen you in your tracks? Has fear ever immobilized you? Has fear ever stopped you? If you're taking notes on this series of God With Us, there are 2 points in this message today. Intimidation produces fear. That's the first point. Intimidation produces fear. And the second point is fear produces focus. So let's talk about intimidation producing fear. When I was a pastor in Texas, I served on a committee called the Committee for Preparation of Ministry. This committee's task was to oversee seminary students who felt called to ministry. As a committee, we were called to help our seminary students to discern God's call for them and to listen to them as they journeyed down the a called path to become pastors or Christian educators, chaplains, or even seminary professors. To give you an idea of this process, we had over 50 people under our care. We would bring a small group of them in each month to review where they were in their process. Our committee was made up of 14 people, men and women from the Austin area. Some of the men and women were pastors, others were professors, and others were lay people. We sat around a big square table and invited the candidates in one by one. We interviewed them, asked questions about their theology and theological training, asked about their spiritual walk and spiritual disciplines, and even asked questions that were focused on their personal development. One time, I'll never forget, after an hour-long interview, one of the candidates came over, shook my hand, and said, "Whew, boy, that was intimidating." Well, it is intimidating when you sit with a group of 14 other people. They're really not your peers, but they're professors and pastors and teachers and lay people. Intimidating. And intimidation means to make timid or fearful, frighten, especially to compel or deter by, or as by threats. Have you ever been intimidated? Has intimidation ever caused you to fear? How has intimidation stopped you? We just read and heard how the Israelites were intimidated. And I love the story of David and Goliath found in 1 Samuel 17. The Philistines had gathered, pitched their camp on one side of the valley. The Israelites assembled and camped on the other side of the valley. As always, let's enter into the story. Put yourself in the story. Can you picture this scene? On one hilltop were the armies of the Philistines, and on the other hilltop were the armies of the Israelites with the valley in between them. We are told that for 40 days, Goliath came out and shouted across the valley and intimidated the Israelite army. Goliath stood, shouted, and defied the Israelites. At over 9 feet tall, we must admit that Goliath had to be quite intimidating. His armor alone would have crushed any normal-sized individual. In verse 11, we're told, when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. If you would like to have prayer, our prayer team will pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon and write your prayer. If you want a response, there's a place for that. We'll be praying. If you need a Bible, we have a man in the church that's giving away one-year Bibles, and we would gladly mail those to you, even a scripture reference book. So my question is, have you ever been intimidated, dismayed, and greatly afraid? Can you relate? Intimidation, to make timid or to cause fear. Do you know why the enemy uses intimidation? Because it's free and it works. Intimidation causes us to be afraid, very afraid. So, have you ever been intimidated? Can you identify with the voices that call out to you from across the valley of your enemies? Does the fear of failure or rejection or financial ruin shout your name? Maybe your enemy is taunting you with personal failure. Is the intimidation of a looming health crisis threatening you or someone you love? Is the intimidation of a broken relationship calling to you from across the valley? Listen to this, Goliath. Today I defy you. I am 9 feet tall and I wear armor that is heavier than you are. Come on out and fight me. A double dog dare you almost. For almost a year now, the news we hear about what's going on in the world with wars and rumors of war, and we just finished COVID-19. Every day, the numbers are posted of what is going on with deaths or infections. Has fear of the virus or fear of death immobilized or isolated you? Wow, that is pretty scary. As a pastor, I'm going to be honest with you, I deal with death a lot. Matter of fact, after 26 years in ordained ministry, I'm going to let you know in on a little secret. The ministry is pretty much about dealing with death. Well, death, whether it's death of a relationship, death of dreams, death of hopes, or even the ultimate fear of your own final death, whether it is through cancer, accident, suicide, illness, or, wow, worldwide viruses, sometimes I think death is our biggest Goliath, our biggest giant that we face. 20 years ago, my wife was terribly sick with an undiagnosed illness. After 5 years of suffering from this illness, it was finally determined to be mercury poisoning. For 5 years, her body temperature dropped dramatically. We both thought she was dying. One afternoon after church, Jack had a seizure. She called for me as she fell into the living room carpet. I held her hand. She asked me to sing Spirit of the Living God over her. So I did. You know how it goes. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. When I started singing, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me, my wife grabbed my shirt and pulled me close and said, "No, no, no, not on you, on me. Sing my name." Her fear of death was at an all-time high. I held her as she seizured, and I sang it again, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on Jacqueline. When I finished singing, I carried her to her bed and covered her up. I prayed for her. I thought she was sleeping. And as I prayed, I told her that if she died, I would be terribly sad, but that she would be with Jesus and be totally happy. I thought she was asleep, so I walked out of the room into my study. After a few minutes, I heard this faint voice, "Do you say that to people who are in bed dying? That's terrible bedside manners." I knelt by the bed and asked her what she wanted to hear. She said, "Tell me good things. Tell me how much you love me." Do you see the pattern here? She wanted me to sing over her. She wanted me to sing about her. She wanted to hear good memories. Jack, I call her Jacqueline, was facing death. Her body temp had dipped to under 93 degrees. She was between here and heaven in very lucid moments. He asked me to feed her faith, not her fear. Fear usually does a great job of feeding itself. My wife, Jacqueline, was facing the giant of death. She had no idea what was wrong with her, and she was afraid. My wife taught me that when I'm at the bedside of someone who is facing death, feed their faith. Love is stronger than death. Love is stronger than fear. Love helps people face their giants. One truth we can glean from this story of David and Goliath is that it might be a metaphor of facing death. 1 Corinthians 15 is one of the most important chapters on death and resurrection. The chapter ends with these powerful words in verses 53 through 57. "For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has clothed itself with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 15, verses 53 through 57. David faced his Goliath. Can you face yours? Do you know why the enemy uses intimidation? Intimidation is free. The enemy uses it freely. Why? Because intimidation immobilizes you. You're frozen in time with intimidation shivering up your spine that runs up and down with fear. Point one, intimidation produces fear. Point two, fear produces focus. Adversity, trials, tribulations, and intimidation can help us redefine our focus. Storms are God's ways of bringing us into deeper grace. Think about it. The Israelites focused on the size of Goliath, and for over 40 days they trembled with fear. They were frozen in their tracks and trapped in their tents. They spent 40 days doing the shiver me timbers twist, I think. Goliath had them shaking in their sandals. How many of us have been shaking in our sandals over the size of whatever we're facing, whether it's COVID-19, whether it's the wars, whether it's financial issues? How many of us have become paralyzed by all the things that have been going on? Here's point two, if you let it. Fear can produce a focus. Let's look at Luke real quick, Luke chapter 8, 22 to 25. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into the boat and set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Well, by the time chapter 8 of Luke comes around, the disciples have seen Jesus heal a man with leprosy, heal a man who had been paralyzed. They have witnessed the faith of the centurion as his servant is healed. Jesus provided a miraculous catch of fish and healed another man's hand. Jesus raised the widow's son and ministered hope to John the Baptist, whose prison cell caused him to doubt. The disciples had seen many miracles. Jesus now calls his disciples to get in the boat and head back across the sea. And during their trip, a squall blew in. The Greek word for squall literally means a hurricane of wind and whirlwind. In Matthew's account of this storm, he uses a word translated great storm. The Greek word Matthew uses is seismos, a quake or a trembling eruption of the sea. A seismos, the same word we get seismologist or seismograph. Seismos is used only 3 times in Scripture. Pay attention when seismos is used. When the earth quaked, when Christ died, that's the first one time. When the stone was rolled away, that's one time. And right here in the boat, we aren't just talking about a squall. Luke, the detailed doctor, is making sure we understand that this was not just your normal everyday rainstorm. This was a hurricane-like rainstorm. It was a great storm, like an earthquake erupting, and the disciples' boat was being tossed about. Can you picture the scene? Put yourself in the story. Let's get into the boat that's being tossed around to and fro on the waves. They're sweeping over us. Hey, where is Jesus? Well, he's tucked away in a little cubby, sound asleep. He has had quite a day, and he's bushed. He's tired. Amidst the seismos, Jesus is sleeping. Amid their fears, the disciples have lost their focus. The disciples were focused on the storm. They experienced wave after wave crashing in on them. The weather elements were out of their league. I often wonder who the disciple was who mustered up the courage to go and wake up Jesus. I wonder what he said. I think he said, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." Could easily translate, "Hey, Jesus, wake up. We're going to die." If you take anything home today, I'd like you to take this home. Fear produces a focus. We will either see our circumstances from an earthly perspective, or we'll see our circumstances from a heavenly perspective. Our fear will make us choose one or the other, focus on the circumstances without Jesus, or give the Lord a shout out, "Master, I'm going to drown." Focus on the fear or focus on the Lord. I would give you anything to see the Lord on Jesus's face, see the look on Jesus' face when the disciples woke him up. I also have to believe that the disciples went to tell Jesus, "Hey, need a little help here, wake up." The earthly fear drove the disciples to Jesus. You're the only hope we have, Jesus. Wake up and help us. It is all about perspective. Fear can produce intimidation, or fear can produce a focus. Are you with me? Are you in these two stories? David, the young shepherd boy, saw Goliath from a heavenly perspective. He said, "God, you are going to have to help me." The disciples knew he was doing for their help. It's not our circumstances that is our problem. It is your perception of your circumstance that is a problem. We either look up or look out. We will either focus on our earthly or our heavenly. Enter these stories. Will you choose fear or faith? Will you focus on your giants, or will you focus on God? When intimidation and fear come our way, and it will, where we put our focus is everything. Will we see our lives through the lens of faith, or will we see our lives through the lens of fear? Will we see the problems of our life from the heavenly perspective or from an earthly perspective? Let us pray. Lord God, we know we're going to face giants. We ask, Lord, that you help us to face our fears with you. Let's sum up.
Amen.
Let's sum up. Intimidation produces fear, but fear produces a focus. Focus on Christ this week. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Maybe sing that old song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed day. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.